Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's a joke.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
Another crab piece for that ass. There's a lot of.
You were on, and then you dipped out, then you got back in there, man.
On and off. But good to touch it for a second, Jay Larson.
For a second, I thought your pitch was my pitch, but
I couldn't tell either.
Good to be here with you as well.
Good to be here.
Feaster Nation, great to be here with you. JayLarsonComedy.com, JayLarsonComedy, all social media is where you can find me. Nothing on the immediate future coming up, just any in-town dates. Please check me out any there. I just want to give a shout out to the late great Mitzi Shore. Last night was a memorial at the Comedy Store. A lot of you guys out there who follow comedy on the regular know about Mitzi, and she was the first person to really like take a chance on what my comedy was back in 2004. And I just wanted to, if you're out there and after you listen to this episode, if you're bored, you want to go online and check out who she was. She's a pretty cool woman and gave a lot of people a break. So I just want to give a shout out to Mitzi Shore. Sickle Cell.
Nothing really to promote much. Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Make sure you take that Crab Feast survey, upper right corner. I'd like to give a special shout out and a special thanks to Topps for supporting me in the Crab Feast Home Run Derby. I have my own baseball card.
That's insanity.
It's insanity. I really legit feel like I'm going in the Hall of Fame. It's the closest I'll ever fucking get.
Well, JUCO was the closest, bro.
Well, maybe. Jeremy Fullerton at Topps, thank you. There's some more stuff coming with Topps. We're going to have fun with them. They're going to have fun with us. It's going to be a good time. Make sure you look for my... how do you get the cards? People have been asking. In July, they go out in regular packs.
Five packs.
There's thousands That's of regular insane. Cards, and then there's like 260 autograph cards. There's one that I made for FTCF. There's one, and that's it. Don't ask me, because I don't get any of the autograph stuff or the game-worn jerseys.
Do you realize that somewhere across this great country, there are going to be two kids trading cards, and some kid's like, I'll give you Ryan Sickler for like...
I'll dump this fucking...
I don't know. Who's that? Eduardo Nunez. That's...
Listen, two Sicklers are worth a Machado, a Harper, or a Trout, or a Hanley Ramirez. Easy, no doubt. Yeah, there's game-worn jersey cards. If any of you get it, I want one. I'd like to buy one back. I have to go on eBay to get my own game-worn jersey card. I definitely want one.
I'm sure they'll be affordable.
They'll be pretty affordable.
some feast to rake you over the coals for like $2,000 for one.
I'd pay it, too, probably. I'm so stoked it's happening during the Crab Feast Home Run Derby. It's a fun coincidence, and thank you, Topps. For any and all things Crab Feast related, go to thecrabfeast.com. Get your merch. Make sure you follow us on Spotify and Laughable, and make sure you're over on social media. We've been going back and forth with videos, so make sure you follow Jay and I on Instagram. You'll see a lot of it there, and Facebook and Twitter.
Great sponsor back again, brooklinen.com. We've mentioned this. I got Brooklinen before we even had them as a sponsor, and love their sheets. You sleep a third of your life. A third of your life you're in your sheets, so why not have a comfortable set of sheets to sleep in? Not only that, they're affordable. They're, you know, it's tough when you're buying sheets. You're like, do I want Egyptian? Thread count? What does any of that mean? No one has any idea. Brooklinen makes it simple and easy. They're the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever had with no big markup. They were named winner of best online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. They have versatile colors and patterns, so you can mix and match. You want to do like just like bold color for your sheets and then have a pattern for your Your pillows, you know what I mean? It's something I like to do. Luxury bedding underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer for just our listeners. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code FEAST at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. That's insane. You're never going to get that anywhere else. And with over 20,000 five-star reviews, I mean, they might have the feast on five-star reviews, players. This is what you can get. They're offering right now to our listeners $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code FEAST at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. Go to Brooklinen, Brooklinen.com, promo code FEAST. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever. I'll tell you what else is a great person ever and podcast ever is this week's episode. So without any further ado, please welcome for the first time to the Crab Feast, Johnny Pepperton!
Johnny Pepperton!
Welcome to the
welcome
Crab
to the Crab Feast.
Oh! I'm not clapping too.
You good.
Did you climb
well done.
I did, yeah. I'm well a big done, fan of making man. Sounds that have like a up, down, loud, quiet type. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like anything kind of tremolo action.
In and out,
I'm
bro.
In and out, up and in, deep and sticky.
On the way to school today, I was like getting ready to put music on. My son goes, can we listen to the Rolling Stones?
Really?
Yeah, because I've been playing it a lot. And I go, yeah. And he goes, you know what I like, Daddy? And I go, what? He goes, how it starts soft and then it gets loud. And I'm like, me too, buddy.
That's
and
really
then, like,
cute.
Cranked it. And then my daughter's going, wheels on the bus! Wheels on... No. Coming around the mountain! Coming around the mountain! I'm like, fucking chill out.
The Stones should do a kids record now. Because they're old enough to make their stuff be innocuous
for
enough
grandkids.
To be kids.
Yeah.
A grandkids record. For your, like, daughter's model's daughter's model.
We have a Queen album in the car that's just, like, a lullaby, all Queen songs, but it's just, like, on, like, chimes, and it's super soft and slow and, like, can put the kids out.
Who makes that?
Maybe Queen, dude. Fat Bottom
that.
Girls. They make
lullabies.
The rock and roll go around.
You know, all these movies, like Despicable Me 3, that's a fucking amazing soundtrack.
Okay.
I don't know if you know that. It legit has an amazing soundtrack. Now, all of those songs in the movie aren't on the soundtrack, but right. one of them that's in the movie is Jump. And
Stella, by Van Halen?
Yeah, and she loved it. And I was like, oh, you like that? And I put on Hot for Teacher. I put the fucking double bass. I was like, what do you think of that? She fucking loves the drums now.
That's hilarious.
Loves it. Loves Van Halen. But she's been
she
on
like
Prince
the
for a
is
long
the motorcycle
time.
In there?
Panama, I play for her and shit. She loves it. She's like, I want to hear that one. I'm like, good, thank God.
Get her in
I'm
the
with
drums.
You. I'm over wheels on the bus and shit.
Yeah, me too.
She loves legit loves the 1984 album. And you know what? We legit love you. So before we get into loving you further, Johnny Pemberton,
okay.
would you please let everyone know where they can find you on social media, plug whatever you'd like to plug.
You got my name. It's Johnny Pemberton on Twitter. It's Johnny_Pemberton on Instagram. I've got an album coming out. It's a non-traditional album of prank phone calls with corporations. It's called Recorded for Quality Assurance that comes out on iTunes and all the other sort
today.
Of streaming things. Today.
Today.
Today. Today is the day of May 15th.
On a Tuesday.
May 15th.
And I will have a limited edition of cassettes coming out. They've already come out for people in the SBI Press Club, but there's going to be more. I got my YouTube channel. I always post scam calls on that, which is youtube.com/justmynipples.
Just my nipples,
yeah,
just baby.
My nipples. What else do you need?
Easy to find, easy to spell. My name was taken. And then the movie comes out June 1st. It's called Action Point.
Sick is that?
It's fucking crazy sick. We filmed that a year ago. I thought we're never going to. It's weird because like
with Johnny
Knoxville. So long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I don't know about it, so tell me about it.
Well, we filmed that in 3 months in South Africa, spring of 2017. And it's basically the story of Action Park, which is a real amusement park in the late 70s in New Jersey. That was like the most dangerous /most fun/most dangerous amusement park ever. It's been shut down since because 6 people have died, probably having the fucking greatest time
from the rides or being attacked
the
by
the rides from
by people in the neighborhood
drowning.
I thought it could be in a bad neighborhood, like Wildwood, New Jersey, just getting 7 stabbings down at the Coney Island. They shut it down.
I think it's just the rides were crazy.
These are all drunk deaths, basically.
Yeah.
It's like people who. Yeah, we're just having too much fun and didn't think that, oh, this is going to happen now. Like, I think someone
Is this a scripted thing, or is it like scripted. Bad Grandpa?
It's not like Bad Grandpa. It's like Bad Grandpa, and all the stunts, everything is fully real.
Okay.
Like, it's shot super wide in CinemaScope, which is like the widest aspect ratio on film. And
it's on ratios.
They fuck, well, because like, I know it sounds so dumb to say it, but
no,
like,
I
actually,
love hearing
it actually
that
means
stuff.
Something, because it's a thing where if you watch a movie that's really wide, you're seeing so much visual information that you can't fake stuff in that, because you're seeing, you could fake something, it would take a huge team of people to paint over all these different things.
Gotcha.
So the whole point is that Knoxville is like dedicated to doing everything real. So all the stunts I did are 100% real.
Really?
What stuff?
Can you tell us any of the craziest stunts you did?
I mean, it's compared to what he's doing, it's small.
Of course,
small.
Well, he's crazy.
It's like me like flipping over a wheelbarrow and like falling when I'm running from a bear. Just like crazy shit.
A bear.
Yeah, I mean, the movie, it's got a bear in it. It's got an actual fucking Kodiak. Oh, that's a crazy story, because they had to get this Kodiak bear to South Africa. And it's like, no one's ever done that before.
So they shipped a bear out there?
They shipped a fucking bear, and it took...
I heard he was a diva, too, near the first class.
Can you imagine the dude's job it is, not only to take care of that bear, but that bear, nothing better fucking happened to that bear.
Yeah.
Oh, everything will be shut down. They shut that, remember the HBO show, it was Lucky or something like that?
Oh, yeah,
like
because
four
the
horses died or something during filming, and they just, that was like, nope.
You just can't do that anymore.
No.
I mean, you shouldn't be able to do it.
It's crazy to even risk that. A Kodiak bear, that's not a small
No, this thing was so big.
It's like really a grizzly you? Cousin.
No, it didn't really chase me, because if it actually really chases you, I would be dead, because that's like a thing. Anytime we shot with the bear, they're just, it's so slow. Like, one scene takes half a day, because... There's some guy yelling in, like, with a South African accent, like, "Do not, if you sit there, better, do not move fast." And one time, some guy was like,
"Is that
running.
A South African accent?"
It's like there's different kinds of like Afrikaans, which is like,
I
can't even do anymore.
African to me, I don't know.
It's like a fucking the Afrikaans accent is insane. It's the weirdest, hardest to understand accent ever. There was so many communication problems constantly, because there's always different accents, and you're speaking English technically, but.
Because somebody get me an English translator for the English guy that's running the shit with the bear, please. That's the one guy.
That's it.
I don't even care what the director says.
Well, the bear guys.
What's that bear trainer fucking say?
The bear trainers were American.
So wait, those guys, hold on. He's telling you don't make sudden moves around this fucking bear.
You can't. Because
if
that
you do that,
all.
It could be it.
You can't.
There's no one stopping it.
You definitely can't. You can't stop the bear if the bear wants to do something. And if you move fast, like it lights up some primitive part of the bear's brain that just tells it to get that thing that's like twitching and running fast.
And even like a play fucking paw from a bear is probably like getting hit by a wrecking ball with claws.
It just takes you out. You're done.
Sorry. I'm on a group. I mean, group texts need to just end. It just needs to end. You know what I mean? Everyone thinks it's like their platform.
I relieve my
silence them.
I know, but it's like a neighborhood Cinco de Mayo party that I got to like contribute to, but they don't get it.
Can I promote one more thing, though,
huh?
Before we get into it?
You can promote everything.
Can I promote one more thing?
Of course.
I'm doing this little tour in June. I'm going to be in Boston, New York, Philly, D.C., and Wilmington, North Carolina from like June 6th to June 13th. So
love
check
it.
Out those dates. I have them on my website
and
stuff.
I'm just going to miss you. I'll be in Boston on the 16th.
Really? Yeah, I'll just miss you. JohnnyPemberton.dog. Also, that's my fucking website.
Are you going by yourself?
Yeah, it's me. Just me.
Nice. Well, I know you do a lot of stuff with Fatum in town. Yeah.
Yeah, I would rather be doing it with Fatum. But I just
you guys,
put it together.
I mean, I remember the first time I ever saw Johnny Pemberton. I mean, it had to be, 15 years ago?
I don't think it was quite that long ago. It was definitely one of the first few times I did stand-up.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, you got to come do my show. Remember? And
yeah.
Then he came to World Cafe. He would get up with a styrofoam, this giant piece of styrofoam.
You guys have known each other since World Cafe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
Johnny, I knew like early on, and then like I just loved his shit, because I was like, I was just doing stand-up, and I mean, I would take risks in stand-up, you know what I mean? But you were like, just like all risks.
Dude, I didn't even know. I had no idea what I was doing back then. I didn't realize I was doing anything risky. I was just doing stuff because I was like, this makes me laugh. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, but that's everything with your comedy, don't you think?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, if you follow him on Instagram, your videos, you're just like, God, Pemberton's crazy.
I guess I'm pretty crazy. A kind of weird person, I suppose.
Yeah, but in a great way. But you used to do this thing. It was like an old styrofoam piece that like VHS like used to be held in it, right?
Right. I got it at work.
Yeah. And he would bring it on stage and like make jokes about this thing. And you'd just be like, this is unbelievable. And it was funny, dude.
It was definitely something where I remember like some people making fun of me, like, oh, we got a prop comic here. Oh, this is a prop comic. I'm like, I guess. What the fuck do you care, man? Yeah. Like, does that matter?
Yeah, totally.
It was, the whole joke was, I would say that I found this for free. It was like comparing myself to my friend who was dating some Brazilian model. I'm like, I'm good. I got the, I just found this. It's like not even dirty.
Yeah.
Found this in the trash. I could probably use this again. It was some
and dumb
shit.
Talk about all the different shit you could use it for. Yeah.
I still have it.
No, are you using it?
I definitely still have it. I just have it because it's like one of those things that's like a totem, you know? I'll never throw it away because I feel like it just was like the first joke I came up with. It was like kind of very much my own thing.
Totally.
So,
I'm just laughing because that's how we are in life with our things. But as soon as we're gone, somebody else is just putting their foot through that.
Oh, totally. That shit's meaningless. It's a piece of trash.
That's exactly how it is. Like, nah, this shit, this is everything to me right
this
here.
Is
cut
important.
To somebody, like, get this out of here. Clean someone it up. Like, put a plan here.
Someone coming on it in a fucking alley or something.
All right.
Okay. That's another way. So, yeah.
Took that down.
Maybe coming through it.
So, yeah, man, I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
And you've done so many different things. So, it's, I love that you have that movie coming out. I feel like that's where I must have seen you posting videos of it, like stunts.
Maybe.
And like, what's it like with Johnny Knoxville? Because I'll be the first one to say, I don't think that guy's just all stunts. I think that dude's a legit. I love watching him.
He's
in
great.
Movies. He's
so
charismatic.
He also works really hard to like make the things be like tonally how he wants them. He's just a really. He's all every day. Everything has to be exactly the right way because he's we're recreating 1979, and he's like so into. We're really into the same kind of music,
mm-hmm.
and just all that whole tonal thing. He is. It's so important to him. So it's like not just the performances and the writing and everything. It's just the whole thing has to fit together. And he's so good at it. He's like just the greatest guy. He's also just one of the nicest, most like generous people too.
Yeah.
Except when he tries to hit you in the balls one fucking time.
He does do it.
Yeah.
That's just his prank around the set.
I still have a reflex now. It just happened the other night. I was hanging outside of a theater with some friends about to go into the show. And someone made like a quick move like to do something. And I covered my balls. Like it's been a fucking year. That I've been
How
home.
Many times do you think he got you on set?
He never got me. He never got me. The only time he got me was when we were in the I was in the supermarket on a weekend in South Africa in Cape Town. And I'm exhausted. I think
everyone's
I'm hungover.
Seen you at the supermarket.
Yeah.
Huh?
Exactly.
So yeah, I saw you.
I'm looking at some stuff. I'm you know, checking labels because I'm just trying to eat food that doesn't make me fucking shit myself. And all of a sudden someone's grabbing my nipple like really hard. And I instinctively just like smacked the hand down or like got defensive. And there's Knoxville standing there with the sunglasses on, cackling. Just like, not laugh. He has me. Like, that weird ass Knoxville
yeah,
laugh.
Yeah.
All the dudes working in the store laughing their ass off because he fucking got me.
They all know who he is down there, too?
I think so. Yeah. If not, it's like just this thing where
he makes himself.
That's
kind
of how it works in South Africa, just because I don't know. There's still like a big disparity between people who are working and people who are buying. It's like if you're buying something, you're like you're always right kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But he got me good. Whistle or lose it.
Whistle or lose
it? You grab someone's nipple and twist it until they whistle because it's really hard to whistle when your nipple's being twisted.
We used to do it safety. Do you know that game, safety?
I think so.
My friend taught it to his daughter. So every time you fart, you have to yell safety.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you get hit.
That's
right. Really?
If somebody else calls it before you call it, they get to come over and punch you until you whistle like that. Yeah. And then you're laughing. You're just like, oh my God, we're trying to. Yeah.
How can I get back into that?
Safety, bro. Safety's
I don't
a good
fart
one.
That much, so.
Yeah. You're not a big farter? You a big burper?
Yeah, but my burps are like bad, weird little reptile burps. They sound like not burps. They sound like something like a little lizard just died in my throat.
Yeah.
They're like the worst, grossest burps ever.
They're furps, man. It's that fart coming back up.
Ah, that's probably what it is.
And burping.
You don't want to get furps.
Having
dude.
A baby. Got furps, bro.
Well, we talked about a bunch of stuff off mic and before.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Minnesota boy.
I'm a Minnesota boy, technically. But it's like a weird thing because my mom was from Louisiana. So I always grew up, my mom would talk shit about Minnesotans.
Did she have an accent?
She did when I was growing up, but it slowly has changed to having a Minnesota accent.
No
and it's,
way.
It's so weird because I feel like it's so embarrassing.
Southern
for her.
Minnesota accent?
Well, it used to be, you know, she had like a straight up Southern accent, mm-hmm. like, hi, y'all. We're going to pick up. Oh, we're going to make some Slippin' Jimmy. What's that? Oh, you know, Slippin' Jimmy. It's Jell-O.
Is it really?
Slippin' Jimmy is what you call Jell-O in
I've
the South.
I've never heard that one.
Or she'd say, oh, can you go get me some? We need some tinfoil. I'm like, what the fuck? What? Some foil.
And you're like, tinfoil?
Foil?
Hilarious. And now what does she talk like?
She sounds kind of Midwestern, I guess, but kind of like, she sounds like a half Midwestern lady. She's not like, oh, she's not like super deep. Like, yeah, we're going to, oh, not like that kind of thing, because that's just the worst. Like, yeah, we had to go to Chad's house and pick up some bagels because John didn't know how to get there. And then we got outside and pretty much, you know, there's all this milk out there and it's all froze up. So had to go back. Not that.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So you told me about this story right here.
Yeah.
Now, so are your folks still together?
No, they got divorced, I don't know, some number of years ago, like 10 years ago, probably.
10 years ago?
I think so.
And so, well, tell us the story here, because then that'll feed into that a little bit.
Well, I'm trying to think how to tell the story, because I never really told the story as a story, but basically...
Just as an excuse?
What do you mean?
Like you said, you've never told it as a story.
Well, I've never told that as an excuse. Because it's one of those things where it always, like, something leads to it, and I'm like, oh, you know what?
Yeah.
It's what I've never been, because it's kind of not hard to talk about. It just feels weird to talk about, because it's like this thing where... You're talking about someone else's thing, but and I haven't even said it yet.
Well, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have three. I have a brother, a younger brother, and two younger sisters.
Oh, you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest.
Do you look the youngest?
Listen.
I look younger than my brother.
We're going to put a picture up. You look. I would fucking straight up card you if I worked the door.
You would. I would. I bet. I mean, I'm
especially
used to that.
Especially because of that mustache. I would card
this
you.
This isn't a mustache, man. This is nothing. I just shaved today.
That's like,
yeah.
I've got a mustache
in
the
movie. Are
you
comfortable saying your age?
Yeah, 36.
He is 30. You seriously look 22? Three?
Jesus, right. I mean, I would say 28.
I think it depends how well you know me.
Yeah.
You look young, bro. You look good. Dick Clark.
Yeah.
Put this way, when I met Johnny, I was like...
Yeah, what do you look like then?
Oh, man. I mean, exactly the same almost.
All right, so you look old back then.
No, I looked fucking young back then.
You was young as fuck. I remember being like, dude, are you 16?
Yeah.
My first day at work, when I moved out here, I worked in an office, like a rec office for one of the studios, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember going in there and just seeing the look on people's faces when I met them. I was like, I didn't get it. And I think they were all just like, what the fuck? Yeah. You work here? Like, you're not an intern, just constantly. It's like this thing where I constantly get talked down to by people who are older than me about anything and everything that exists.
Or look older than you.
Look older or just think they're older because people just assume.
Johnny, no one's doing that.
No one's talking down to me. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Some like the dumbest people in the world talk down to me, like give me advice. Like I've had homeless people give me advice.
Hey, son, come here, son.
Man. Yeah. Let me give you a tip.
Let me
give you a tip real quick, man.
It's that kind of shit. Like, I have moments where I look so dumb. Not just dumb, I look lost. I look like just generally lost a lot of the times.
But where are you in really? Where are when you're?
He has
with that
no
look,
idea.
Are you dialed in? Are you just zoning?
I'm usually dialed in, or I'm kind of zoned out.
But you just have
out.
A look on your face that says, yeah, this guy might need some help.
Probably because my mind's in a different place because I'm thinking about something. Yeah. Or just because some people just look a certain way. You know, some people just look mean, mm-hmm. but they're not.
Yeah.
It's like I look whatever the opposite of that is.
Totally.
But I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm a killer.
I'm a fucking killer.
Cold hearted, baby.
So
I don't take shit from
you. Were
nobody.
Saying your mom's Louisiana, but you.
Yeah.
So she lived in Minnesota. You grew up with her in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Shitting on Minnesota. It's not like she took you back to. Or did you go back and visit family?
We used to go back a lot and visit my grandpa and stuff. And it was. I loved Louisiana, but my mom would always talk shit. You know how you talk shit about people?
Totally.
Like normal things that everyone does, but you subscribe it to like these fucking Minnesota drivers or these.
Yeah, it's like living in L.A. when you grew up in Boston.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. Like, you'll just say something that's... Before they had Dunkin' Donuts here, you're like, no, man, you don't know what a donut is.
Dunkin' here.
Nobody knows what donuts are, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that.
You don't do that with Baltimore?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I do that. My mom used to do that all the time.
Fucking Dungeness crab. Fuck out of here.
Anytime he goes somewhere, it's like, how's that crab? Is that imitation crab?
Hey, damn right. Want that. You spell it with a K, it ain't hitting my fucking plate. Okay.
That's not crab.
That's not fucking crab.
What is
it's
that
the
stuff?
Hot dog of the sea. It's just like all fucking fish parts put together so they don't waste.
It's mixed? It
the hot, yeah.
Just read
the ingredients. Like ground white fish and...
Oh.
Man, I'll tell you.
Bullshit.
Yeah. I had a ground white fish sandwich the other day, man.
Subway makes one.
Nice.
Subway makes a foot-long imitation crab sub. Yeah.
That sounds disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Sounds like a hospital.
It's disgusting.
It's like a...
There's no other... There's like imitation lobster, I think. But you look out there, why isn't there imitation shrimp? You know what I mean? Like, what? Why just... It's just... It's all...
The shrimp
they,
is
then
that.
Then they put like an orange food coloring on it.
Too. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
It's fucking nasty.
I feel like shrimp is already imitation fish. Like, the shrimp eats the dead fish and makes its body out to be imitation.
Yeah.
That's why shrimp are kind of nasty.
They're all
shrimp
muscle, though, dog.
Yeah.
They are delicious. Okay. So, you were growing up, 18. Yeah. Tell us, like, so if your parents only, your parents divorced, like, tell us right. what, how this was affecting you then. You said it was like, it's a tough story to tell because it didn't happen to you, but it kind of yeah. did happen to you.
Well, I guess it did. What happened was my mom was like, okay, so we're going to get separated. Your dad's moving out.
And how old are you at this point?
I think I'm 18. Okay. Because all of this stuff happened at the same time, so it does kind of mix together. I think I was 17 or 18, I'm pretty sure. And my dad
looked 11.
I was gonna say senior in high school looked like he
I looked
was
10. About 5 or 6. About 3 or 4
so
when I was
see, that's a second grader driving over there. Jesus
man,
Christ.
That kid can hit yeah. Little League boy.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be checking your birth certificate.
I used to bring my passport to a bars all the time.
I'm sure.
And I would fuck with people too if they were like giving me shit. It's like call the cops, motherfucker, do it.
Yeah. And they're like, man, this fucking 12-year-old's got a this mouth on yeah. him, boy.
Balls on him.
Do I have to call the cops? Go ahead. Call the cops.
Yeah, totally.
Go ahead. Call the cops. Go ahead. Do what you want. I don't care. I don't give a fucking shit. Oh, you guys like beer here, you fucking piece of shit? Give me some Jaeger. Come on. Don't give me that sugar-free Red Bull. Fuck you. What happened to this bar stool? Why don't you get some new ones, idiot?
They're pouring you sugar-free just because they're like, it's too late for him. He can't be having
give
sugar-free.
Give yeah. Temple. He's got some nuts on him.
I got some cojones. Yeah, I'm 18. My parents are getting separated. It was something where I'm like, what's going on here? Because my parents weren't like fighting or anything. It wasn't like...
And how old was the youngest at this point?
Man, she must have been like maybe 10.
Okay.
Maybe 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And my mom said, your dad's got to tell you about what's going on. And she like kind of smiled in this weird way.
Then like handed him the mic like, here you go.
Yeah. Because I was asking like, what is it? Why are you guys getting separated? And then we have this sort of meeting. Not a meeting, Mike, but I can't remember. It's kind of foggy because this was a little while ago. But basically, my dad brought me into the living room with my mom, and it was like, so do you know?
Just the three of you, not a family meeting, or you don't remember?
I think it was my brother, too, because he was old enough to kind of get it. But my sisters were too young to understand what was going on. My dad was like, he said, I'm coming out because I'm gay. And it was this thing where it was very kind of matter of fact. Which is so weird about it because I feel like I kind of got an idea this was happening just because it didn't make sense to me why this would be happening other than that, you know, because that's not like a thing that's, you're not getting along because of that. That's like my parents weren't getting along because of something that's like a basic human nature thing.
Yeah.
It was a thing that was, well, there was no drama around it. It was just something... Well, it was so matter of fact when we said that, and I kind of had an idea just because, I mean, I guess I put a couple of things together, not like seeing my dad. He didn't act that way at all.
Yeah.
Like, still to this day, you wouldn't know he was gay at all. He doesn't seem like... not
outside of his new husband.
Yeah, exactly, which is true.
Yeah,
that is ass.
His new husband is the gayest guy on the planet. The guy's like... the first Christmas we had together... My brother and I were looking at each other. My sister, because we're in his apartment in Minneapolis, his condo in Minneapolis, which looks like Cher owns it. It's so fucking right. Like pristinely decorated with gold accents and like white.
What's
carpet.
His name?
His name's Jim.
Not James.
Maybe at one point in time, I guess, but he's Jim.
Usually, gay guys go by their proper name. Michael.
I think this guy has been
James.
Gay for so long that maybe
Jimmy.
He went through it. Yeah,
he came through on the other side. I was like, you know what? I'm a Jim.
Yeah, Jim has never. I don't know Jim that well, but I feel like Jim may have never been in the closet. He may be one of those guys. You know what I mean?
I know those guys.
Yeah, fuck
for
yeah.
sure.
Like a guy who maybe tries, but
figured it out right away. Was like, I'm running with this.
There was a guy in high school.
Good for you, bro. Yeah. Good for you.
There's a guy in my high school that way. And we're like, oh, you're gay. It's okay. We all.
Yeah.
You're a great person.
It, yes.
You are gay.
Yes.
You're telling. You're broadcasting it that you're gay.
Yeah.
My dad was the opposite. I never. I mean, he's a fucking surgeon, which is like, you know, that's like a really manly profession. All the dudes he worked with were like good old boys from the South who go fucking duck hunting and shit. And like, go kill turtles in North Carolina and to drive like race cars and stuff like that. It's like a fighter pilot kind of job, but you're
being a surgeon.
Yeah.
It's like, have you ever met a commercial airline pilot, like guy who flies for like Delta or American or some shit? My buddy's brother does, and the confidence level of that man is crazy. Because every
sleeps the whole time. A lot of them do, though. Actually.
But I'm saying every time that guy goes to work, he has 300 people whose lives depend on him doing a job correctly.
You just got to be stone cold.
Stone cold is right. I remember we were at a my buddy Jordan's brother. We had a party one time, and we're out back, and he lived in a neighborhood with a lot of people he didn't know. And these guys came over, and like, we're kind of starting trouble, like. Before anyone even knew trouble was getting started, this guy had stepped up and like, how's it going, fellas? And just like walked right over to him like, God damn, he's
cool
so
it out.
Impressive. Yeah. I wanted to fucking make out with him.
They used to call my dad, they used to call my dad Valium John.
Because he was so chill?
Anytime he'd hold a baby, he'd fall asleep.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Just go to sleep.
Huh? Oh, the baby would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby fall asleep.
Baby. He dropped like seven babies, man.
Oh, shit.
He just kept dropping babies.
All right, so wait, can we go back to the moment again
here?
So is your mom, do you remember, is your mom upset? Is
she wasn't
crying?
Upset, no.
They've probably been talking about this for months.
Oh, yeah.
Or years.
They have been talking about stuff for years.
Yeah, years.
Your dad keeps wanting to have threesomes, and every single time it's him and this guy, Rick.
And two guys he wants me to watch.
So this is where it gets weird, because it's like, it's all this stuff that's so funny to talk about, but at the same time it involves me thinking about envisioning things.
Of course.
Like, I don't want to think about even the most boring heterosexual parent sex, unless it's my friend's parents or something, let alone my parents. And it's like this weird shit. It's like, ugh, it's just so muddy.
Well, we'll take care of that.
Go for it.
Don't worry about it.
Let her rip.
However, okay, so you and your brother, he says this to you.
Yeah, he says it. And
do you remember, how was he? Was he just, you said matter of fact, right?
I think he was pretty damn nervous. He seemed a little nervous because obviously. Yeah,
even the most confident man or woman, when you have to like break down like truths or like real things in the world to your kids, like even just anything where you have to like open yourself up completely and not be that stern, confident person, it's got to be scary, especially something like this, dude.
It's
your kids.
That's heavy.
People have a really tough time coming out to the world and family, children. Holy cow.
This industry.
Yeah,
this podcast.
You know what I mean? Listen, while we have the platform.
While you got it, you got to use it. It's one of those things where it was so anticlimactic. It doesn't have a lot of...
you know what would have been hilarious is if you were gay and you're like, you know what, Dad? Fuck this. I'm gay and you're going to steal the spot.
Yeah, this was my moment.
I'm gay.
So,
it was very anticlimactic. So it was one of those things where I don't remember it in that way because it wasn't like a really turbulent emotional thing. It just sort of was something I kind of put two and two together with, but got confirmation of it. And it was just a thing where...
Did you have the type of relationship with your dad at the time where you, after that, did you go have a one-on-one with him or sit and go to have dinner or sit and talk to him?
I think we did. We never had a really good relationship. I think that's probably why, is because he was always, I mean, if you're a surgeon for one, you're probably a pretty cold, closed-off person.
Let alone a surgeon for two.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got to be a surgeon for two, man.
Surgeon for two. Oh, man, that's such a good one, Jay. That, you know, because like, you're dealing with that shit, so... He just worked a lot. Like we weren't super close. So I think there was he definitely became a much, much, much happier person and more outgoing after that.
Oh my god.
For obvious reasons.
Sure. So freeing. Yeah.
So I think for me it was kind of there was some resentment on my part.
Because why? The happiness couldn't come from the family, it had to come from something outside?
Sort of like because you didn't do this, it's like too little too late. Like now you can be present in your life because you like yourself. You've accepted who you are,
mm-hmm.
So you can be present, like mentally present, as opposed to kind of checked out.
And you're like, why the fuck didn't you figure this out before you went and had a family?
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Before I had a family, or even if he did have a family, but if it was something where, like my formative years as a kid, it's like a thing. I mean, it's like the oldest story in the book, absent father, whether or not they're physically there or not. It's not like anything unique, or I'm not like being, oh, woe is me. Mm-hmm. It's just that at that age, you're already a fucking pissy, resentful piece of shit already. At least I was, I think, a lot of times. Because I was also really sick. I had a really bad bowel disease. So like the combination of that made me, I think, kind of angry and resentful at him. At the same time, I didn't want to like rain on his parade. Rain on his fucking parade.
You and your gay parade with your fucking streamers and your floats coming down the street and shit. That's got to be tough for him. I wonder, did you ever have like, I've had family members come out to me and I remember just being like, oh yeah, cool. It didn't change anything.
You know what I would have done if I was a surgeon though? Every time I put them under, I would have been like, you know,
tell them. I've told
someone I can talk to.
Or like as they're going under, like as they're going, and when
they
come back
up, like,
from
you're
10,
gay? Like, I don't 10, know what you're talking about. That's the
9, 8.
I'm gay.
7. Okay, are you out? He's not. He's out. He's out.
Like you said I was gay. Like, I never said that.
It goes Valium Jim, baby. Every time.
So how quickly then do your parents split at that point? Is your dad already in a relationship?
No, he wasn't in a relationship. He met Jim pretty quickly afterwards, but I don't think
What does Jim do?
He is a hairdresser. I'm telling
not
you,
gay at all. Dude, not gay at all, man.
He's the gayest guy. Here's what I was going to say.
He's got to be. You know what I mean?
Dude, he got a gay handbook at like 4.
And you know, that's right. And you know it immediately. I'm fucking hairdresser.
How can I tell people I'm hairdresser?
Here's the best. No,
share.
It gets better.
Past the neckerchiefs.
It's even better than that. It's even better. Jim is so gay that, hairdresser, right. Already gay. The other thing is that I don't know if you know this, but this is a common thing to, if you're, there's a lot of gay people who major in mortuary science. There's a lot of gay morticians.
Really?
It's not like a super common thing, but it's one of the things if you look
it's also a great industry to get into because it's everlasting and a lot of people don't want to do it.
Exactly. And I think
I'm putting together quickly here are people, anyone that seems to want to hide behind something, mm-hmm. being a surgeon or even dealing with the dead, I mean, good.
Exactly.
Your secret's safe, literally. You know what I mean? You can hide behind this mask easier you want to.
What do you mean?
Completely. How many people are in surgery you're chit-chatting it up with all day saying shit like that? You're working with people who are unconscious, dead, if you're in the mortuary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not
what,
like...
What drove you
it's
to
not
be
like
a
that
surgeon?
Person
what drove you to
like,
9
hey, you know,
years?
Yeah.
What's
but
going
when,
on in your life?
Did your dad ever tell you later like when he knew or how long he hid from it, why he waited to have 4 kids? I mean, there must have been either he was... What was your grandfather, your dad's dad, like a hardcore like military dude or something?
No, he died before I was born. He was also a surgeon. And his dad was also a surgeon. So,
holy shit, man. What a disappointment you are.
I know.
Huh?
I'm like a surgeon, comedian.
What? You see his new VHS tape? Oh, good Lord.
It is.
Johnny's got a cassette tape out now in 2018.
Yep.
It's a thing.
Of all the things.
I have a friend, a good friend of mine. His father came out. I think we were just got out of college, I think it was. Yeah, probably in the mid-90s he came out, and his boys were grown at that point, too. And he's happy as shit.
Yeah.
He's happy. He's enjoying his life.
Think
you know what I mean?
It.
Like,
you must have felt trapped your whole life.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen I Love You, Philip Morris, that Jim Carrey movie? It's one of my favorite movies. It's fucking great. Probably for like obvious reasons I like it just because of the topic. But Jim Carrey plays it's a true story too. It's the craziest true story ever. But Jim Carrey plays a guy who comes, he's a salesman, and he gets in a really, really bad accident, almost dies, and he comes out and they're wheeling him away on the stretcher and he's going, I'm gay! I'm fucking gay! Like he's so happy to be alive.
I hope people are outside.
Hearing this shit right now, like,
gay.
Yeah, the guy working away out there is just like, good Lord, what are they doing there?
And the rest of the movie's insane because
it doesn't matter. You're alive.
Yeah, he's
who
so happy. That he's like he's a criminal. It becomes like this incredibly successful white collar criminal. It's a great movie, but that's like the thing about it I always take away is that he almost dies, so you be yourself. Because you're alive.
You can also never understand the what it takes to have to exist in a world. Mm-hmm. We're all straight men. I mean,
yeah.
As so far. And
so spectrum.
And it's like you know, I talked to this guy in Boston, and like we were having this conversation outside this hotel, right? We're going back and forth, and he's like a hardcore Catholic, and I'm like, so you're a hardcore Catholic? And he's like, oh yeah, Cuban. I'm like, okay. I'm like, what would you do if your daughter is gay? And he's like, well, I'd support her. I'm like, oh, you would? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, that's fantastic. And he's like, oh yeah, family's family, blah, blah, blah. And as we keep talking, he goes, well, you know, I would wish that she'd be normal, but you know, and I was like, oh wait, now this is normal. You know what I mean? So imagine if the whole world, especially up until, I mean, what year was, so this was probably
2001.
Yeah. Even then, I mean, yeah, it's been, imagine trying to do something like this in the 80s or 70s. Yeah. The only dudes that would crush it back then is like guys like Jim, who were like fucking owned it. Either you own, because if you didn't own it, you were like a guy like, what are you, soft? Because the dude who owns it, you're like, yeah, man, that dude's gay, dude. And you, and look at him. He's right. That's his whole.
Using real scissors when he was two. Real scissors.
No, that's safety. She's cutting hair.
Man, look at this fade he gave me, man. Sixth grade. Look at that fade. you know what I mean? That's got to be really tough. And then,
definitely. I mean, it's hard to even know how. I think what compounds it is that if you're a surgeon, that's already, I think it's one of the highest professions that has sociopaths. Because it's like, it makes sense. You don't have to, you have to detach yourself from your work to do it, your work, because it's so serious and so like intense.
You got to detach yourself from feelings and emotion. Exactly. And, yeah.
So it's like, I think that, I've just been thinking about that stuff recently. I think that's probably why he waited so long to come out, was because he was so good at his job, which is part of that job is being emotionless.
Yeah.
And so if you're so good at that being emotionless, it's easy to let your own emotions just slip by for a long period of time before you're like, I have to deal with this shit because I have to deal with it.
Well, and not only for your sake, but his own sake. Like, he sacrificed his own happiness because he's like, I don't want to deal with that. And if you're the a son of a physician, surgeon, who's the son of a surgeon, there's a whole line of fucking emotionless, blocked off dudes that are like, this is. And he also, I mean, I don't know if you've seen Dead Poets Society. Remember the kid who kills himself? His dad's like, you're going to be a surgeon. Imagine, like, I'm sure there must have been something if they were like, surgeon. You know what I mean? Then you'd be like, oh, I got to be a surgeon? Like, my son knows right now he's got to be a comedian. He's got to.
My daughter knows right now she does not have to be a comedian. Here's what I want to know. You said they'd been talking about it for years. So how long did your mom know about this?
I think maybe 2 or 3 years, something like that.
Two or three. How did you know how she found out?
I don't know how she found out. It must have been something where he told her and they wanted to work it out together. I think this is the weird part. That
Jim, like, also did her hair?
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank fucking God.
Can you imagine?
Oh my God. That would be insane. That would be like the best sitcom ever.
Totally.
There probably is one we don't even know about. I think they even tried to do that thing that people have now since decided is total bullshit, which is maybe we can figure this out. Maybe you aren't gay. Maybe you know, what's that called?
Jesus. Oh, like bullshit. Correctionism when they like.
I think my mom mentioned that. But I don't think, I mean, I don't fault her for that just because she grew up in the South and like a very traditional Catholic family. Her dad was in the military. Like, she was that kind of person. So to her, that almost seems like she's very impressionable.
Has she remarried?
No, she hasn't.
I wonder if that's like affected her in a way, because I know girls that have been with guys that then came out, and like, I think a lot of them immediately turns and like, what's wrong with me?
Oh, totally.
Like, did I do this? How did I not know? All that kind of stuff.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of complicated stuff with her going on. It's like there's a kind of resentment that you probably can't even quantify.
Yeah.
But also, if you're really honest and you realize that this isn't, they didn't just become gay.
No, of course.
They just came out as gay.
I know, but you're still going to do something.
But,
you know,
they've been that their entire life. Mm-hmm. They just didn't, you know, gym it up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. So, okay.
That's my new favorite
dude.
So,
is anyone close?
You ain't going to believe it.
Hey, Jimmy!
Good job!
Get on in here, man.
Bring the scissors, play.
Look at my sideburns, man.
Hey! Man, the music he listens to is great. We had Christmas, the first Christmas we had at his apartment, I was talking about. I was there with my brother and my two sisters, and the music that was playing was basically like, have you ever heard Christmas house music? Like, no. Like light house music. Like, dun, 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 with a little, like,
I feel like in commercials and shit.
Yeah, right?
Like a Target commercial.
That's what was, not just that, but fucking Cher singing, like, do you believe, with the Christmas house music, like, dun, 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 dun.
And then laid in there, too.
That was what was playing on loop on a CD quietly in the house. I'm just looking at my brother being like, this is a cartoon.
It's the gayest soundtrack
ever. It's like, literally. I mean, it's so gay. I had to just laugh because I just can't believe. I don't know. There's something endearing about it that's also. It's like
you
that
joke
thing,
with your father about it?
I try to, but he's not very
he's
good
like,
at joking about it.
What's the problem with
it.
This, man?
There's a lot of stuff now where I'm still like, Dad, I'll say, Dad, you know I know you're gay, right? Like, I remember one time like early on, I was like, oh, I was looking through. I found a copy of Details magazine. In his apartment, he was like,
"What's that? I don't know.
I think it's a gay magazine.
I don't or think it's like gay.
No.
Well, just because I've had it before, it might be gay. I don't know, but I don't think
so. Maybe it wasn't Details. It was some other
creeping out. Wait till the end, baby.
Jay's got a lifetime subscription to Details.
turns into just Tails by the end.
that's very specific.
All right.
He just like was like, "What are you looking at that for? Don't look at that." It's like, Dad, it's just a fucking magazine you can buy in a newsstand.
It's not Poison Ivy, Dad. I'm not going to get it.
This is not a plastic wrap magazine. This is a magazine you can buy.
Black cover on the outside. Yeah. Do he and Jim live together?
They do now, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're not super close with your dad.
I'm become more close with him, yeah.
Yeah.
And where are they in Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota.
Dude, I'd be up over there all the time.
It's great. It's really fun.
And are he and your mom still... Do they keep in touch? Are
they keep
friends?
In touch.
Do they brunch?
It has changed over the years, I think. There's been like attempts at being friends, but I think, I don't know. It's stuff that I'm even like thinking about. There's like money stuff going on. My mom being, it's just stuff that to think about it is the kind of thing where, oh, this is why I don't want to go home for Christmas because I have to play both sides of this and I don't want to have to do it because it's just absurd. Because it's the most unenlightened bullshit ever that they're dealing with. And like, you guys are too old to be caring about this kind of crap. You have to stop. Otherwise, you're just going to die with a frown on your face. And I hate it.
Well, family feuds, as Ryan and I both have experienced, are like...
I've been in the middle of you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I put myself in the middle of one recently. Really? But like... It's just the worst. You're just like, just squash it. What do you give a shit? This is supposed to be family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially when you have like this ideal of what family is. What you guys are dealing with is just like a bigger picture thing. Like, how did your brothers and sisters like end up dealing with that? Were they cool? Like, I mean,
I think they did a better job actually because they were younger. So for them, it was more of a...
They almost were born, not born, but they grew up knowing only that.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
So that's probably like, you know. Born well, with the internet in your life.
Also, I didn't live at home at this time. I was in college, so.
Where'd you go?
Florida State.
You did?
Seminole.
Florida State.
What made you go there?
I got accepted. Got accepted, and it was far away.
And you're like, peace.
Yeah.
And warm.
It was warm. It was cool. It was
Jim
fun.
Was like, I made you a feathered hat to wear to games.
Oh, God.
It's an entire headdress.
Yeah. So I was in a home for a lot of that stuff. And they, so I think they were a part of it. I know that my little sister, I think got some shit at school from, you know, kids are terrible. So
yeah.
Nothing new about that, but they definitely spent a lot more time with both of them during that time. So they were a lot closer. I think I was kind of, I don't know. It's this weird thing because there's a lot of weird stuff with me because I had colitis. I had ulcerative colitis, which is a bowel disease.
Yeah, what is that? And how does that happen?
Yeah, it just happens. It's like it's a disease you get. I think it's considered an autoimmune disease. So it means like your body's sort of attacking itself, which happens.
Did this start while you were at Florida State?
It started when I was 10 years old.
Damn. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I think...
Your dad was like, step son, I got this.
Yeah, I was going to say, did he do the surgery?
Man. No, he didn't. Like, everyone was asked that, and I'm like...
Well, I mean, you come from three generations of surgeons. You figured he'd be like, let me get up in there.
Just think about it. Would you ever operate on your kid?
Great point.
You wouldn't if...
Great point.
Yeah.
I have a tough time putting eye drops in.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a great point.
So he didn't do it, but that's the thing. I think it was really hard for... We have a special relationship because I think for my dad, seeing me really sick growing up, with an illness that he used to go to work every day and treat,
So he would actually work in that field? Yeah. I mean, when you, is he like have a specialty?
Yeah, he's a colon rectal surgeon.
Holy
whoa,
shit.
You developed the very thing that he specifies in?
Well, essentially. I mean, he's a surgeon's. There's a little difference because surgeons do. Surgery is always something where it's purely physical. You deal with a doctor. Doctors treat through medication and stuff like that. Surgeons are like the fucking plumbers. They fix the physical mechanisms of things that can affect the biology. So it's like you start. I had colitis. I didn't have surgery until I was 18.
So hold on real quick. Back to like what you said about the sociopath. Yeah. Do you think there's any element of your dad poisoned you to have this disease to build a closer relationship with you?
Well, it's the opposite. We had a less close relationship because I feel like my dad...
Seen this case every day and he's complaining about it again.
Because it was like a thing where it took me a while to realize this, but he kind of made this admission to me once when we were having dinner. Right before I started college, it was just him and I at a restaurant in Tallahassee. He was saying how he's basically apologizing for not being closer to me growing up because it was something where he goes to work every day to operate on people who like a third of them or a quarter of them have colitis, and he's taking out their large intestine for that reason. And so you come home, and the thing that you already are struggling for at work, you come home and you see it again. So I think for him, it was just like this insanely...
24/7.
Yeah, and I remember one time...
I mean, imagine if you came home and you just went to bed and all of a sudden the fucking spotlight hit the wall. Reeve was just running 30, 40 minutes at a clip. You'd be like, yeah, shut the fuck up.
Well, I mean, I think it's a little heavier.
Yeah. I'm trying to lighten it a little for you, but
I've been giving him the light after 5, like...
Wrap that shit up.
Give him the fucking like helicopter light, blinding light. Go! I think that's what it was.
But what were you gonna say? You said one time he said what to you?
Well, one time I remember like I used to have to take medicine at certain times in the morning. Like I had to wake up early to take medicine.
Like shots?
Yeah. And I just remember him being on the bed there and it's hard to talk about. He kind of broke down crying, giving me a hug on the side of the bed, and it's just one of those things where like, I'm gay.
You're just like, yeah, Dad. Man. No, I mean, because he was what? Because
I think it was just so heavy. Like,
because he's also seen the worst, probably, of that disease.
Like, where you could be, maybe, is a little bit of also being thankful in there that you're not. Your dad's probably seen the worst of that thing.
Is having your large intestine out like the last result? Like, or is that like pretty? I mean, because if you got it at 10 and you didn't have it out till you were 19, you went 9 years with it trying to treat it.
Well, kind of how it works is if you have colitis, you can treat it with medicine, but every year you have it, your chance of getting colon cancer just triples because the cells and they start to. There's something called dysplasia, which is like cell mutation, because when...
it's also... dysplasia is also like a setting on Instagram. You know what I mean?
It's a filter.
I'm going to filter to dysplasia.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Support for the Crab Feast comes in part from Simple Contacts, the most convenient way to renew your contacts, lens prescription, and reorder your brand of contacts. You can take a 5-minute vision test from your phone or computer. I did it myself. It is legit. It's reviewed by a licensed doctor. You receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contact. It's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists. Review every test carefully to make sure your eyes look healthy and that your vision hasn't changed. Simple Contacts has been rated 5 stars over 3,000 times on the App Store. You can text with the support team and always get to speak with a person, not a robot. Simple Contacts has all the brands and types of lenses you're familiar with, so you never have to shop around to find your lenses at the best price. I did this. I went online, did exactly what they said, took a picture, you sight up your eyes. And my eyes, look, they ain't what they used to be, but, you know, I've got the progressive lens, bifocals, I call them still, and they were awesome. Everything, I was worried, you know, I have anxiety about all that stuff, like, oh, they're going to get it wrong, I'm not going to be able to see. Nope. Did it, sent it out, they contacted me, confirmed it was all ready to roll, and then I got them in the mail, and they're the same contacts I wear all the time. I didn't have to go out to an appointment. I didn't have to park. I didn't have to go in. I didn't have to wait. Nothing. It was so simple, so easy, saved a ton of time, saved a ton of money, and it was way better than I thought it was. I was a little hokey at first, like, I don't know about this, taking a picture of my eyes and sending it in. No, it's awesome. I will continue to always use Simple Contacts. However, I have to say this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. Get $30 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/crabfeast or just enter code crabfeast at checkout. That's simplecontacts.com/crabfeast or code crabfeast at checkout for $30 off your contacts.
This week, we're happy to have FirstLeaf.com, the only online wine club that uses your ratings to make personalized wine selections match to your taste. I don't know if you guys are like me, but if people tell me about a good wine, I buy it, and then, or I'll experience it at a friend's house, or I don't know how I find out what wines we like, but every week I'll be at the grocery store or at the liquor store buying some wine that we just keep getting because we like it, and we don't know how to step out. We don't want to spend money on something we're not going to like. Well, First Leaf changes all that. First Leaf is a new online wine club that's putting a stop to boring wine buying by helping you discover your new favorite wines. Every shipment is curated to your taste based on your ratings of the wines. Kind of genius. First Leaf created an introductory 3-pack of wine for me based on my flavor profile and my wife's. Best part is we got 3 bottles for just $5 each, and these wines normally go for about $20 a piece. We got the bottles, we tasted them, I mean we drank them, rated them online, and First Leaf took our ratings and selected new wines for us and then sent us the next shipment. And their experts are constantly like checking out new wines, tasting, rating. So now, every time we get a new shipment, it's just going to fit us better, and we're going to just have a whole new selection of great wines. My first shipment only got better and better as they came in, and I rated them. Well, we rated them. With First Leaf, you never have to worry about spending money on a bad bottle of wine. They guarantee you'll love the wine you buy, or they'll give you your money back. That doesn't happen anywhere. Right now, if you sign up with our personal link, you get an exclusive intro offer. It's 3 bottles of wine for only $15 plus free shipping. That's not all. If you rate these 3 wines, you get an extra $10 off your next box. This is like a no-brainer deal. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/crab. That's tryfirstleaf.com/crab to take advantage of this order. Let's get back to the podcast.
I know a couple people who've had the same thing and had their intestines removed. And I used to, back in the day when Dee Burdett, good old Dee Burdett, what's up, Dee Burdett, at the Bray Improv, she would do these Sunday afternoon shows a lot. And she would bring me and Segura and a few other people out, and we would do benefit shows. And a lot of the times we would do a Crohn's and colitis benefit.
Okay.
And
in
college, we would do a bowl-a-thon for Crohn's. That's when I learned what it was in college. And I was like, oh, this is serious. Like,
yeah,
this
it can be really bad. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have it as bad as some people, but definitely I went through all the different medication things. Nothing really worked.
Are they trying to just tame it so they don't have to take out your large intestine?
Yeah, the idea is you get it under control, because it also works in cycles where you have a flare up. Sometimes you'll be good for like 18 months. You'll be really good. No problems at all. And you'll just have a flare up, and nothing will fix it. You have to go on prednisone, and like that's steroids, and that shit fucks you up bad because you puff up like a chipmunk. And steroids they're terrible. I mean, they're great and terrible, but...
Great for your swing.
Great for homework.
So now it makes even more sense that I'm thinking back when you said you were in South Africa trying to find food that wouldn't make you shit your guts out. So now go back to how hard was that?
Oh, I mean, it was. I'm used to it now.
What can't you eat though?
Oh, I mean, it's not so much what I can't. I'm basically just always thinking about what I'm basically never having a good time. I'm always like thinking 3 or 4 times about, okay, if I do this now, what's going to happen then? If I have this, I'm having lunch here. This. It's this constant kind of, that's why a lot of people who have bowel disease are prone to having anxiety-based depression. It's like almost 100% of people who have bowel disease have anxiety-based depression, because it's a thing where I don't have diarrhea anymore. I don't have urgency where I have to run to the bathroom. But back when I had colitis before I had the surgery, dude, I could smell a bathroom from a half mile away. I knew where bathrooms were instinctively. I could just find them no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a water fountain, okay, there's probably one right here. Men's room's usually the right. Like, I always fucking find bathrooms, because it'd be like, sometimes you'd have like 10 seconds to find a bathroom.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, playing soccer. Johnny, pass! Where's he going? Hey, where are you? It's the second half here.
That's why
did you play sports?
No, not at all. No, I was into music. I played in the band and stuff.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
What'd you play? Bass?
Play bass.
Yeah, baby.
That's
yeah,
what man. I played.
Wow, we got a bunch of bass players.
I never played bass.
How'd you know I played bass?
Because you just seem like a bass guy.
That's cool, man. That's fucking cool, though.
I mean, did that affect your life a lot? Like, all right,
yeah,
so
definitely.
Then,
oh, totally. Big time.
Where did the surgery take place? During the school year? Did you miss school
no,
time?
No, I took a semester off of college. I think it was after my freshman year at Florida State. The doctors were like, you know, it's only going to get harder to have surgery because surgery is really hard on your body, obviously. It's like the hardest thing ever. So if you're the fatter you are and the older you are, the harder it is to recover from surgery. So they're like, look, if you're going to have this done, you should do
Ryan,
it now.
Ryan, I'm just looking at you like, God damn it. Why are we
25 now?
Everybody should.
Yeah. You're right. Everybody should except yeah. you.
Oh, I could lose some. I got something here. I got a little beer storage.
I got some you can have.
I'll take it. I'll shit it out.
What if that was your superpower? You take people's fat and you just
I take your pain, I shit it out.
Just the weirdest creature of all time.
Uh-huh. Give me your pain. I'm just going to eat it up and shit it out. No, 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 no. What's the problem? You got a problem with your sister? Give me that.
No,
I'm going to bite
any
that.
Not anymore. Bring her in here.
Hilarious.
Give me some ketchup. But yeah, man, that's how it works. Yeah, this had the surgery done.
Can I ask real quick? Did your dad, like, did he, was it a buddy of his or would even a friend not want to work on you?
Now that you proposed that question,
I was like, I wouldn't want to work on your kid.
Yeah. Well, I was going to have one of the other doctors in his department, which is like 10 people, 10 people in the Mayo Clinic Department of Colon and Rectal and General Surgery.
Jim was like, God damn it, I'll do it.
Give me my scissor.
Oh, man. I want Jim to listen to this.
Jim would love this. Jim was like, I'll be a guest tomorrow. I have some stories.
Come on.
He probably does have some fucking great stories.
I'm sure that guy has stories.
Oh, he does. He's told me some stories. I'm like, really? You did that?
Open invite, Jim.
Jim feels like the dude that, like, you know, especially growing up in the age that he grew up, you know, I'm sure being homosexual is not, you know.
In Wisconsin, too.
In Wisconsin. I'm sure he had a lot of pushback, and I bet he fucking handled himself.
I mean, I really don't know. I feel like there's got to be some darkness that Jim has been through that he doesn't show. He's, like, definitely blasted past it. But he is a queen, man. He is a queen. 100% queen.
Does he ever come see you do stand-up or anything?
I think he's seen me do once or twice. Yeah, in Minnesota. I don't love doing stand-up for my parents or family because it's that. It's the thing that, yeah. I think they saw me do a show early on, and it was a great show. So I was like, okay, that's it. You saw me kill.
Yeah.
We're done. We're done here.
It is a weird thing because if you just had a regular day job, if your mom just stood over your cubicle or something all day, like, this is all right, enough, you know, that's good.
Because
that's how you're going to file. That's how you're going to file.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so back to a friend did or did not. You trying to get someone in the entire department to do this surgery for you.
And I was going to go with this one doctor, Dr. Wolf, was going to do the surgery. But
I'm 2 months away from tenure, man. I can't be fucking up. The boss is here, you know?
Well, he decided not. He didn't feel comfortable doing it.
I wouldn't. Would you?
No.
I didn't think about that until you said it.
Yeah. Well, they're caught. I mean, some of them are like, I got this. Right. If anyone's going to do it, I'm going to do it, you know?
So eventually it was the head of the department who, this is even weirder, this is a small town. I know, you know everybody. It was one of my friends, high school friends, was her dad.
Whoa.
Here's the other weird part is my dad has operated on my friend Dave, done the same surgery.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. We kind of became friends because of that, though, because when I was recovering, Dave reached out, you know, to like... Because
he had been through it?
Yeah, and he went to a different school, but we have like the same taste in music, so we actually became like really close friends. But he would come over to my house, we'd hang out, and he'd be like, hi, Dr. Pemberton, you know, this guy who took his colon out and stuff, so... That must have been weird for him. It's such a small town that, yeah, I mean,
still
I knew.
Still got your colon on the shelf if you ever want to see it. Boys, play fair out there.
I asked for it.
Did you?
I asked for it, yeah.
You could ask for it.
You can't get it, though.
Shut up.
Oh, they won't give it to you?
It becomes institutional property when it leaves your body.
For studies and whatnot.
Yeah. Right. There was some cowboy that because my doctor.
Gallbladder. I feel like gallbladder you can get.
Maybe cause you can sell it to the Japanese or something like that,
some,
right?
You can get some shit on the black market out of you.
Wait, what about this cowboy?
This cowboy who had his colon taken out, he asked my French-Canadian doctor, who was obsessed with Buicks, by the way.
Okay.
Surgeon, obsessed with Buicks. For some reason, he loved fucking Buicks.
Look at this Skylark.
with like a French-Canadian accent. Buick is such a great car. I love it. It's so wonderful. So this cowboy's like, I want that Colin because I'm going to go take it down the ranch, put it on a fence, and shoot it with a gun because it caused me so much trouble.
And they give it to him?
No, can't have it. Can't have the Colin.
You should be able to have your Colin.
You should, but, you know, I guess what would I do with it? Just keep it there to remind me how much it sucks?
Right. What are you going to do with it? Let it go to
that
the institution.
That nasty thing.
Let it go, man. People are going to study it. I wanted to ask you, I want to hear about this. You mentioned that.
Let me talk about acid, bro?
Yeah, about acid, man. How many times you done acid, player?
Oh, probably like maybe 15, 20 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're like,
Jesus, really?
Listen, I can't eat a cheeseburger, but I can take down some acid.
I used to grow psychedelic mushrooms in my room in college and sell them.
Really?
How'd you learn how to do that?
You get spores, man.
A friend taught me how to do it. And,
and you probably made a good chunk.
I actually didn't. I sold them for nothing. It's one of those things where you feel bad profiting off the sale of like a mind-expanding drug.
Yeah.
It's like selling someone consciousness or something like that.
Very interesting.
My friends made them too in San Diego. But that's what you get, right? They send you the spores and then you put it in like a dark place.
And you do a bunch of stuff. It's complicated, but it's pretty fun.
Got to kind of have that science mind.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it definitely helps. Like, it's a thing where I like doing stuff like that. I like to garden a lot. So it's like a thing where.
You got a good green thumb?
I like the greenest.
I'm going to hit
you
up with some tomato advice after, man.
I can fix any plant, man. I don't know what it is. I feel like it's a weird thing.
I got a bonsai right over here. That needs a little love.
That's a tree, man. I just got to look. I need some pruning advice if you want to.
Yeah, I'll help you with that. You got to sucker those tomatoes.
Yeah.
If you want to train them, you got to sucker them. I would just let them go bushy and slash them at 6 weeks.
Slash the whole thing?
Listen to them throwing the jargon out of
you. What do you mean, slash the whole thing?
It depends what type of tomatoes you got. Are they indeterminate or determinate?
What does that mean?
So there's two varieties of tomatoes. There's determinate and indeterminate. Indeterminate is most varieties where they sort of grow everywhere and they fruit constantly. Determinate means that
they season.
They fruit all at once and you have all your fruit at once and they don't bush out as much. I'm probably getting some of this wrong because I stopped growing tomatoes a couple years ago because I kind of got bored with tomatoes.
What are you growing now?
I was growing
pineapples.
What did you say?
Pineapples.
Pineapples. Oh my god, that'd be badass. I would love to be able to do that. Have like a greenhouse growing fucking pineapples and cocaine.
Yeah, dude.
Cocaine.
Grow fucking coca leaves, processing my own boutique coke. Like I'm getting like, you know, a half gram of it. That's all I net. I was growing a bunch of English peas and fava beans or broad beans and a lot of garlic and dill and peppers, but I just put in a bunch of sunflower seeds, okra, and borage.
Oh, so, raised beds?
Raised beds.
Yeah, you have room for sunflauer?
Yeah.
Just the seeds. I mean, it just growing the seed.
It goes up. So.
Yeah, a friend of ours used to have a garden full of them back in the day, and we'd run through those. It was awesome.
My neighbor is this weird, like, retired Vietnam guy. Like, I don't think he has a job, or maybe he does something from home.
He fought in Vietnam, or he's Vietnamese? I'm not sure what you meant by
that. Yeah, what was that?
Weird.
Both, man.
Retired Both. Vietnam. He fought in Vietnam, and he's Vietnamese.
He's an Arvin soldier?
Mm-hmm. The man in the black pajamas. No, he's an American, and he fought in Vietnam.
He's American? Well, you can't be Vietnamese and be American, Jay?
He's an American...
Born American?
What color is his skin? What language does he speak?
He speaks like Louisiana Midwest. Okay. But he just like is like this dude that like, I think he's an alcoholic. I don't know what his deal is. But like you only see him once in a while going to the store. When he comes out, like the kids will like go and play in his yard and like run through his yard and stuff. And he loves it. Loves like seeing like people around the neighborhood. And then every now and then you're like, I think he's sobering up because he'll be out and he's like planting shit. Yeah. And then like last year he just like, fuck it. And just in his whole front yard planted sunflowers. And they just sprouted up to like 6 feet.
Oh, yeah. Monsters.
And his grass is way overgrown. And he's got one pine tree that's like barely holding on. And like maybe every 2 months you'll see him pull up the sprinkler and just leave it underneath the tree and just soak the shit out of that thing. And you're like, I don't know what he's doing. But he gets those sunflowers cranking.
So you're a different kind of Dr. Pemberton. You're all about the fucking saving the plants.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's, I don't know. I just fucking love it.
So you said that you accidentally tripped, OD'd on LSD on a Wednesday morning. I mean, how do you accidentally?
How do you even OD on LSD?
I got some liquid acid from a friend.
In college?
No, recently. This was like a year and a half ago.
Okay, yeah.
Adult shit. Yeah, I got it from a guy named Duncan. He gave it to me.
I know a guy named Duncan.
Maybe it's the same guy, maybe not.
Okay.
And he gave it to me, I think, for Christmas or some shit. And it was like, make sure you dilute it. Like, make sure you dilute it. It's really strong. You dilute acid with, like, grain alcohol, right? So I could...
Holy shit.
Not just water.
Huh? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So don't use water, because I think it'll price this.
How big was the amount that he gave you?
It was so small, man.
In an eyedropper?
Like, in a little vial.
Okay.
Eyedropper. It had... Like, imagine, like, a fat drop coming out of an eyedropper.
Uh-huh.
That's how much was in there.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
And so I
and
got
you,
like a...
And then how much grain alcohol that. Do you have to... Yeah, how much do you have to dilute that?
12 ounces.
That's the problem, is I didn't do any diluting.
You forgot?
Well, I didn't forget. Let's just say I'm not a chemist.
Yeah, okay.
But I kind of thought I was a chemist because sometimes I think I'm smarter than I am.
And you made mushrooms. So, I mean, at that point, you're
right. Like, yeah, I got some confidence when it comes to some scientific stuff. I ordered the smallest pipette I could find, which is like those glass straws you see like people dispensing medicine that has like a little button. It's like a syringe, right? It's like a syringe where you can control the amount really, you know, for science stuff. Got one of those and I was like, I'm going to pipette out this liquid and then put it into some other liquid and then add the grain alcohol so I know the exact amount, the proportion, so I know when I'm testing it in small doses, how strong it is. And then I was like, so I was doing that. It was like a Wednesday.
Just
like,
give me anxiety thinking about it.
I'm sitting here staring at him thinking about it too.
Wednesday, like 10:30 in the morning or something. I have a podcast to record later that day. Oh, my podcast, live to tape on Starburns. I forgot to say that.
There you go.
Great podcast. Super great fun, podcast. Super cool. You guys got to do it. It's going to be super cool and fun when we do it. I had a podcast to do that day, and I had a big dinner that night. Some friends. So I was looking forward to it. I was going to take like a microdose, which you don't know what microdosing is. It's basically take a very small amount of LSD where it functions like an Adderall, except without the after effects of Adderall. It doesn't make you like you know how Adderall, if you've ever taken it before, it makes you kind of, it can make you sweaty or kind of nervous or twitchy. LSD in really small amounts is a fucking, it's a great drug. It's a miracle drug. We'll probably be
just
taking
like mellows you out. I mean, I have a friend who microdoses right now on shrooms. Like he takes a little throughout
it's
the
very
day,
similar.
Every day.
Every day.
I think LSD is better just because it is. There's all kinds of stuff that. But I think
coming from the guy who OD'd on it.
I mean,
yeah.
But even when you don't, if you microdose like that, could you drive? I mean, can you function?
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. You don't even know. There's no psychedelic effect whatsoever, except for alertness, and maybe like a bit more emotional sensitivity. And kind of like, I don't know, you're just more present.
Yeah.
You're more present and you're alert and just kind of with it a bit more. So, I mean, I love it when you do a microdose and it's the right amount. It's really, it's great. And a lot of times it does make me want to take more, though, not push it over the edge. Like, now we're really rolling, baby.
Yeah. Time to macrodose.
Yeah. So I got this, the thing out. I got the pipette out. And I pull the liquid up into the straw. I realize, like, I don't have time for this. I don't think I can do this right. But here's the thing.
All the liquid's in that straw.
All the liquid is. I put it back in the vial. I eject it out because I'm like, I don't have time to do this properly. I'm not going to do it now. So I eject all the liquid out. All the visible liquid leaves that straw.
Mm-hmm.
I have to wash that pipette. I pull some water in there, and I squirt it out into a little cup, and I drink that water. And I'm thinking, maybe there'll be just enough on there. Maybe I'll have a tiny microdose from that. But, you know, honestly, I was thinking nothing's going to happen. Because
so all the acid in, all out, mm-hmm. and that little liquid residue after pulling water in and shooting it into a cup is what you took a sip of.
Uh-huh. I didn't take a sip of it. I drank all the water.
But that little squirt with that little bit of amount of liquid acid.
I'm talking like no visible liquid inside the straw that I could see. Took that, get in my car. I'm alone. My girlfriend's not, she went to go to work. She took the dog with her, just me. I go to this place, what's it called? Like, not Runyon Canyon, but in Studio City, that hiking place.
Fryman,
yeah. I drive to Fryman. It's going to start raining. It's already dripping a little bit, right? So I get to Fryman. There's like four cars in the parking lot. No one's there. I get out of the car, start walk up the hill. I'm like, oh, yes, I fucking love running in the rain or hiking in the rain because you're alone, air's clean, just great. It's like being in Minnesota again. You know, it feels good to be cold and running. Start walking up the hill. I've done this hill probably 50 times at this point, tons of times. I'm walking up. I've even done it microdosing before, and it's great. I'm walking up the hill, and all of a sudden, I'm starting to get like hit by, oh, I guess it was a microdose. I guess it was like, that's awesome. I'm walking, and then it starts to get more and more wavy. My ears start to kind of pop a lot, and I feel just the, whoa, just that feeling. If you've ever done psychedelics, when they come on, there's definitely like a, kind of like a womp, like yeah, a, yeah. like, whoop, we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit, okay, this is going to be a little stronger than I thought, which is still fine. I can handle that and even enjoy it. I get up to like the plateau of the hill. And as I'm, the whole time I'm walking up there, I'm like, oh, it just keeps just brrr, brrr. And I keep hearing the sound in my head. There's this video game called Overwatch I play a lot. And there's this one character, when they put their special thing down, it makes a sound like this. It goes like, you hear this sound.
Mm-hmm.
I kept hearing that fucking sound in the distance. Like, what the fuck is that? Power lines or some shit? I'm like, oh, God. And I'm just feeling more and more like my hands are turning to liquid. So I get
on my- freaking out.
I get on my phone. And I text. I cancel the podcast.
First thing,
cancel the podcast. I text my friend Doug. I'm like, dude, I can't make it to dinner.
Are you still walking or have you stopped?
I think I stopped walking to make some emergency text. I call my girlfriend and I tell her what's going on. I'm just like, I'm pretty sure I accidentally took too much LSD and I'm in the park. I'm going to try to finish the hike and come home. I'll let you know. I'll keep you updated.
Try to finish this hike. I feel like.
Yeah.
You have no choice. You're halfway.
Well, because I know from doing... those type of things that you can't sober up. You can't like drink coffee or water or do anything. You can't get it out. It's in there. It's like a microscopic thing. So I just got to hang in there. I try to go to the top of the hill and it starts raining pretty hard. It's getting fucking intense too.
I mean, is there a part of you being like, is it even raining at all?
Part of me, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I started to get confused to where I was. And I've been there, like I said, 50 times. And I started to get a little bit lost. Like, oh, shit, am I going to fall off this fucking cliff and die? Is this whole cliffside going to, like, erode in the rain? I'm going to be in a mudslide? Like I said, I have all these paranoid delusions. I make it halfway up. Like, I got to go back down and get some water. Go back down, get some water at the thing. Walk to my car. It's the only car in the parking lot at this point. Except a fucking white truck. With a state of a park ranger.
Right.
I'm like, this is fucking Fear and Loathing shit. I get in my car. And I'm like, I can't drive. I know I can't drive. I couldn't, even if I was like, I had to drive, I would not be able to. Oh my God. I can't even imagine having to drive in that state.
No way.
I have an extra slicker in the back. I throw that on and I try to act as normal as possible.
All you had to do was just sit in your car. You didn't even have to go anywhere.
But what if that guy comes up?
Right.
And I'm driving. I have to explain. I can barely speak.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, "Oh, was that and the case there? It would have been garbled. It's been garbly good.
Can I just text you, man?
Yeah. I just text the ranger. And also my friend's laptop is in the trunk for some reason. I was supposed to bring it back to him. So that's in the back of my mind. Like someone else's very important thing.
Way back in your mind right now.
Fuck. I walk home. It's like a 2.5 mile walk. Not that bad in the rain. And I leave there without that guy like asking me a question or some shit. Is this your car? Start walking home. I keep seeing mailmen. Like I said, like five mailmen. Like, what's going on with these fucking mailmen? What are they doing? Are they following me around or something?
What are these guys doing their job?
Good Lord.
Yeah. I got kind of freaked out by those mailmen. It was also so wet, so much rain that it kept, you know, those big puddles that form where you can't cross at the intersection. You have to go way around it.
Yeah.
So I happened to do that. I'm like, I must look like a fucking crazy person. But actually, I probably looked like just, you know, a guy avoiding the puddle. But in my mind, I was so paranoid because I was so high that I looked like a crazy person who's about to get arrested. I make it home. Somehow I fucking made it home. I get drink like a huge glass of water. And then I like fucking vomit. I'm sick. I'm like, because it's starting. It's,
have you ever vomited from drugs before? I mean,
yeah, but not from LSD, no.
This is so intense.
So intense. I just have to vomit. I even vomit on my hands and knees on the fucking carpet, like a dog.
You couldn't even get to the bathroom, or you didn't want to?
I don't even know, man. It was one of those things where I was gone. I was detached, and I'm like, at this point, I'm calling my girlfriend on speakerphone, like, hey, I got to talk to you. I have to talk to you, otherwise I'm going to die. And I threw up again, I think. And I'm sitting in a beanbag underneath some plants in the front window.
Huh?
Yeah, I got a beanbag.
I've been looking for one for my office, actually.
I got to hook up. Hit me up after the podcast, okay? Yeah, off mic, I'll hook you up.
Yeah, let me know.
The rest of it is just me trying to hang on to like my
Jim
ego.
Comes in, he's like, John, hold on.
Oh my God.
I've been there before.
Holy shit. That would scare the fucking death out of me. I just like
how
hung
long
on.
Did that last?
Probably intensely for about 6 hours.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That level you're talking about right now?
It was
now?
Heavy. It was like at one point I was at reality as a separate thing. I was looking at reality and the point where I felt like I could die. Like I could just, if I didn't want to stay alive, I would be dead. And I laughed at it. I remember laughing out loud at how ludicrous it is to be alive. Like how absurd it is to be alive. I just kept thinking about this. There's this book called Endurance. It's about the Antarctic expedition in 1909 or something, where those guys got adrift for like 600 mm-hmm. days. I kept thinking about that, how those guys made it through that shit and all lived. I was like, I just got to fucking hang on. Just keep staying present while they're going.
Imagine if any of those guys were listening to this right now, like, this fucking piece of 600 days. He's talking about 6 hours.
Yeah. Oh, it felt like that. I mean, that basically started tapering off after a while, but there's a bunch of points in time there where I just thought I was never going to be, well, a part of me knows, like, as like the scientist or whatever knows, that this is going to be, it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
The trip's going to end. All the stuff I'm thinking and feeling, they're not going to be there, but there's also a huge part of my consciousness or brain that it felt like I was dead. I was gone. Like almost total erosion of ego, mm-hmm. which is, I've heard about happening before, but never experienced it. And it was just really, it was just a heavy, heavy thing. Once it started wearing off, I just felt so, I was so elated just to be.
When did you call Duncan?
I don't know if I could call him. I think maybe he wasn't available. I definitely texted him. I'm not even sure.
But I mean, like after the trip, did you ever talk to him about it?
Yeah, I talked to him. We did a podcast about it too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That shit was fucking heavy. I was definitely laughing at the reality.
How many times have you done it since?
I haven't done it maybe once or twice.
With that same batch?
No, that thing, I put that in a place where no one could ever touch it. I feel like that's like a...
Like for the real. Arc of the
yeah.
No one should get near that fucker.
I put it in a glass bottle, a glass beer bottle, and put it in the recycling.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll leach into the soil and get some fish.
Some homeless dude was like, come on, let me get
this. Jesus Christ right now. That's
now he's a certain.
Yeah.
Good Lord, dude.
Beep! That sound. All day. Beep!
6 hours straight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. I can see that sound too, how it looks. I would describe it as harrowing. That's the best way to describe that.
For sure, man. When you were in, I mean, so it sounds like you're pretty pro at like can handle drugs. Did you do any crazy drugs when you were in South Africa?
People always ask me that, but I was like, that was the last thing in my mind there because it's such a, South Africa is scary.
But why?
They have like a crazy amount of crime there. South Africa is the kind of place where, I don't know, it's one of those places where it's like the Wild West, but it's not the Wild West.
Mm-hmm. You say that though, but then when you really come back, step out of our world here, is it really worse than Baltimore or Detroit or LA?
Yeah.
It is. Holy shit.
Here's an example.
I wasn't expecting it yet.
Here's an example. If you are learning how to suture up stab wounds, you go to Johannesburg because they have a fucking unending stream of people coming in the emergency room with stab wounds.
Jesus.
It's like free practice because it's just so, so much street crime. It's incredible. South Africa is crazy because the economic disparity is just massive. So people, the people who rob you, for example, two of the actors in the movie got robbed at knife point on a Sunday at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, two blocks from our hotel. And the hotel is not in a bad area at all.
Well, clearly it is.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's not. Okay, there's basically two parts. There's the part of Cape Town that's like the walled city by the water. It's all just, it's basically a mall.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't staying there. That's where most people stay, but that hotel was filled up because other movies are already filming there. So we were staying someplace a little further from there. And it's just, it's like, essentially, the people who are robbing you are so poor that they don't care if they die. If they die in the act of stealing from you.
Wow.
The guy even said God bless to them after he stole their money. So it's like that weird thing where...
Like, we have to do this.
Yeah.
Now, forgive me. Am I wrong? Like, do I know people that have... I feel like I had like an agent one time that was like, went on his honeymoon or anniversary to South Africa, like wine tasting through wine country.
It's fucking beautiful there. I did that too. In like the, in central South, there's all kinds of places. If you go east from Cape Town, there's this huge wine area called Stellenbosch. It's just like up north from here, like in Solvang or something like that.
Is that like, safe or?
Super safe. But the city is, I mean, it's just like a thing where, it's hard to describe. It's like a thing when you're there, you're just kind of always on alert. You can't really relax because it feels like you're in LA. It looks like LA. The weather's the same. So you kind of feel like a familiarity to it. Everyone speaks English. Everywhere you go, you're not really regarded as a tourist because there's so many different types of people who live and work in Cape Town that any accent you have is seems like you could be living there.
Even with all that crime, huh?
Yeah. There's just like a there's just an element of the crime there that's so much more violent. The only thing, the big difference between Los Angeles or Southern California and Cape Town is that every single house has either razor wire or an electric fence.
Damn.
Like every, on the perimeter fence?
Yeah. Damn. Everywhere. Everywhere has it. Because if you have any type of access point in your house to get in, people will get in and they will hold you up at gunpoint or knife point and maybe kill you. Just for your fucking TV. You don't have to be have like some special money. They just want anything. Like I heard some stories. Some guys who worked on the movie, I think it was the DP or maybe one of his other guys who's a local crew member, talks about how when he was a kid, he woke up. There's something going on in his house, some rustle. He sits up in bed and the first thing he sees is some robber dude poke his head into the room and then he sees that guy's head explode because his dad... woke up and shot that guy from behind with a shotgun.
Damn.
And that's like, that's a crazy story, right?
That'll scar you.
But it's not, that's not a super crazy story for South Africa.
Wow,
so,
man.
But also, the eggs there are so good.
Fresh, huh?
It's like the best eggs I've ever had in my life. Some of the best cheese, all that stuff. Oh my God. Top notch.
Top notch.
Top notch. Well, nicest people. Some
now, because it's so far
cheese
away.
And
wine and
eggs.
Who wants anything more than that?
I mean, there it is. Secret
wine
to life.
With eggs in the morning? Woo, baby.
Oh, yeah. A little parsley on
I've
there?
Done that up in wine country. Let me ask you. So if you were there for 3 months, did you come home at all in between? Because that's a hike, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's like a 26-hour flight. So
fuck that.
Britt came out to visit me for 10 days.
Yeah.
That was nice. Otherwise, it definitely is a thing where, yeah, it's hard. I didn't think it would be that hard. You know, you're an adult, you think you're okay doing that, but you get like weird kind of homesickness when you're that far away because it's so much different than anything else you know. I think that the fact that everyone speaks English compounds the homesickness because if you're someplace that speaks a different language, there's kind of like a novelty to it where, oh, I'm in this different place, I can enjoy it, but there's something about being that far away to someplace that also feels so familiar that's very... Yeah, it's just,
I get
it's,
that.
It
that
fucks
makes
with
sense.
Your head. Mm-hmm. The weirdest thing was right before I was leaving, I was packing my stuff up and I woke up the morning and I was like, oh, it's almost Christmas. Because like the way the light was coming through at the time of day, just the way it kind of felt like Christmas. then I realized, oh, I mean, this is May 27th. Uh-huh. Because you're in the South Pole or the Southern Hemisphere, that it's the different...
You said this was for a amusement park in Jersey? What the hell?
Well, they changed it to California.
But why South Africa shooting?
It's just like anything, you get like tax breaks out... Tax breaks.
You get them in Atlanta too, man. Right?
I think you just
clearly,
get,
if you're bringing all those people and that money, did they rebuild Kodiak.
They rebuilt.
Don't forget, that
they rebuilt
bear.
the whole park there.
They rebuilt, like they turned this entire probably 20-acre plot into. It was incredible. They cut down all these trees in this place. I mean, the construction they did. They were there for 4 or 5 months before we started shooting, building this stuff.
Like, so, it doesn't need to be safe, remember? Yeah. It's functional until a couple people die.
Everything's cheap.
Did you ride rides in this thing?
The last day, we got to ride some rides. And we got to ride some rides when we were doing the stunt shooting stuff. Otherwise, nothing. We weren't allowed to ride any of that stuff because it's like...
What was that audition process like, by the way? This is like a big movie.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the budget?
This was... I think it's like a $40 million movie or something like that.
Damn. That's no... I mean, yeah. Johnny Pemberton's come a long way since World Cafe. Okay.
Yeah, I got all that money. It's all mine.
I mean, how many auditions did you have to go on for that?
I think I just did two for this.
Yeah, that's awesome, huh?
Yeah, it was
that's
nice.
Great.
But it was one of those things where the role was, I don't know, some things it's like they just kind of know. Just something I've kind of done before, and I'm like, I was just right for it for checked all the boxes kind of thing.
Yeah, you got a good resume. It's not like they're like, you're an unknown.
Yeah, the last audition I had was a fucking Skype audition, too. It was even weirder.
Mine, too.
Yeah.
Mine, too.
Wait, for this movie?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's hilarious.
For that.
We're not getting a great reception, but we like what you're doing.
He's looking in the camera. He appears to be present.
He knows what he's doing.
He's got a good sweatshirt on. We like the sweatshirt. Where's the sweatshirt? We like the sweatshirt.
Sweatshirt's actually what put you over the edge.
I think it's what it was. If you have a good sweatshirt that makes you look good and a good color, nice graphic, nice novelty thing.
Did you go out at night at all in South Africa? And what was that all about?
Oh, you went out a couple times. It's really fun. There's like this cool style of house music there. I can't think of what it's called, but it's
Christmas
bass.
House music?
Man, I wish I could play that.
Jim would have loved it.
Dude, I might even have this Christmas Jim house thing. I got to play this shit for you. I gotta find this. This song epitomizes the Christmas house music I'm talking about. I gotta find this for you. If I can find it.
Yeah. I just feel like
I'll find it in a second.
You know, because they have a South Africa comedy festival that lasts like a month, and people say that like you go out at night and everyone knows who you are because you're on TV every night, and it's almost like a.
I would get recognized all the time by any dude in any store, like constantly. Oh. From 21 Jump Street, man.
Really?
Yeah. Or like, oh, from Superstore. Hello. Hey, it's so cool to meet you. Can we take a picture?
Yeah.
Always want, like, the nicest. I mean, that's such a thing that people throw around. It's like, oh, so nice, so nice. But it's like a different kind of, just because the shadow of, what do you call it, of apartheid is so, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like freaky shit that goes on, too. You see people getting yelled at. Like black dudes who are working at a restaurant getting yelled at by their white boss and in front of people, and it's like there's like nothing to them. When I see that, I'm like, oh my God.
And it's like hardcore yelling, like.
Yeah, and it's shit where I know what's going on here is it's a thing where it's just there's that.
Racism.
Yeah. there's also like a huge classism thing there. It's like crazy. It's like all the shit that happened in the movie where there was problems with some of the construction people because. An underling will never talk back or like say something to their superior to the point where it's like sometimes kind of dangerous because you're not pointing something out because you don't want to say you would never tell your boss
he did something wrong.
Yeah, you're missing this.
Yeah,
right.
Because
you're not doing your job.
That was like a thing that everyone had to figure out. So it's like tons of communication errors and stuff where people just wouldn't tell someone some shit because of that. And it's weird to be around that because in America we're so free. It's like you forget how. Yeah, it's. I mean, it's fucking so much better here. It's ridiculous.
Yeah man.
It's a great country, but it was so. I was so happy to be home just because it kind of put all the political stuff into perspective for me. It made me not care about it as much because it's really like we're arguing about something that so many people wish that was their worst problem.
Yeah,
they would pay. Like they would do anything they had. They'd sell everything they have just to have. Oh, your worst problem is that you hate someone else voted for or something like that. It's like when they have like the best president they ever had just did less embezzling. Less of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. I'm glad you got home safe.
Yeah, man. And thank you for coming on here. This has been a really fun time.
I had a great time.
This was great. Yeah, you really opened up, and thank you for doing that and having fun with it, too. Will you, one more time, promote whatever you'd like?
You got the podcast. It's called Live to Tape with Johnny Pemberton. That's me. That's every week on Wednesday. It's kind of a crazy to-do.
Wednesday.
And I got the album coming out today, May 15th.
Yeah, go check that out.
iTunes.
I bet that's hilarious.
It's called Recorder for Quality Assurance. It's got a lot of hold music in there, too. I sing over and stuff. And I'm doing a
How many pranks are on the album?
Let's see here. I think there's 10. I think there's five sides each track. There's 16 tracks.
16, man. Mm-hmm. That's fun. Jerky Boys, baby.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I'm doing a little tour in June in like the East Coast. So check that out. I think it's like starting June 6th in New York at Union Hall. And then I'm like moving down the coast, finishing in Wilmington, North Carolina. And the movie, yeah. And the YouTube channel.
All of it, man.
Just My Nipples. YouTube.com/JustMyNipples.
I love it. And do you have a website or no?
Yeah, JohnnyPemberton.dog.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dog. .dog.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on. Great to see you as always.
Thanks for having me.
JLarsonComedy.com, JLarsonComedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.